Welcome. You have no idea how much I've been looking forward to this. This is good. This is what we prayed for. This is. Thank you for coming here for the first service at the Rock Church in Provo. I praise God for each and every one of you. I've been praying for you. We didn't know what this night would look like, but somewhere in my mind, I had an idea it was going to be just like this. I just want to thank you for being here, each and every one of you. We hope this church here in Utah Valley, this church, we're going to meet as a family, whether in this building or another building or somewhere, until Jesus returns. And I've been praying that that would happen today. So they might be having homecoming over at the Y here, but the homecoming I'm praying for is the return of my Savior, Jesus Christ, because he's promised us that he's coming back. I'm so excited about that. Tonight we're going to start on a four-part series called Thank God You're Here. I don't know, maybe there was a TV show called Thank God You're Here. It was a comedy improv. And we kind of got this idea from. So it's going to be a four-part series, and it's going to be a topical series. And we have four different subjects. And it's going to be topical. At times, we'll go verse by verse through the Bible. But on this particular study, it's going to be topical. We'll bring the Bible and verses to it, and we're going to go either way. And I think that'll be good. As this church grows and we go on, we'll do verse by verse studies. We'll get into the Word. Or we'll do topics, stuff that's relevant, stuff that we need to understand in our lives. So tonight we're starting Thank God You're Here. The first part of this series is on forgiveness. So that's what we're going to talk about, is forgiveness. And I even have the clicker here in my pocket, so we'll be good. We'll start with this quote, which I like, is a Protestant a preacher back in the 1800s, quote by Horace Bushnell. Forgiveness is man's deepest need and highest achievement. I think sometimes we can run right past forgiveness. We think, oh yeah, that's no-brainer. That's no-brainer. Forgiveness, yeah. Did you know that a good understanding of forgiveness can revolutionize your life? A good understanding of forgiveness can revolutionize your faith, your life, everything that you do, if you fully comprehend what true forgiveness, true biblical forgiveness is to you and to me. And I'm just going to bring up two questions tonight. It's simply two questions that hopefully will help us understand forgiveness. And we'll just take a look at forgiveness. First question is going to be, am I forgiven? Am I forgiven? That's an easy enough question. I like this verse in Colossians. Everything works so good here. You guys are amazing, man. I like this verse in Colossians. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. If you're a Christian, you are forgiven. It's a done deal. And if you're not a Christian, that forgiveness is available to you. It is there. God offers that to you. He offers forgiveness to you. Am I forgiven? Yes. Here's another verse I like. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. Christ died for sins once for all. Once for all. It's done. Do you understand that? If you're a Christian, do you understand that? Let's look at what Jesus had to say about forgiveness. I'm going to look in Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And it's kind of when Jesus reveals his plan of forgiveness. So if you do have Bibles, you're welcome to follow along with me. I'm reading in an NIV Bible tonight, Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. I'm just going to go ahead and read God's Word to you. Jesus heals a paralytic. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went onto the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." That's Jesus' words. "Friends, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." That was when Jesus said, "I am God. I have the authority." He was on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Right then and there, Jesus was on the earth and he forgave sins for people to see. He said, "I am God and I have the power to do that." And that's the same Jesus that we worship today in this church. That is the same God. And he is able to forgive our sins. So yes, our sins are forgiven. If you're a Christian, it's a done deal. Let's look at a couple more verses. I like this one in 2 Corinthians. "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us." Jesus actually became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. If you're a believer, you are the righteousness of God. I don't want you to see that yet. So here's the deal, guys. If you're a Christian, you will not be punished. You never have to give payment for sin. If you're a Christian, you will never be punished for your sin. Do you understand that, Christian, today? Do you understand? The most common mistake Christians make is to feel guilty for sin and say, you say, "What? Feel guilty for sin? I thought you were supposed to do that. I thought you were supposed to go to someone and get down before them and confess your sins and get that all over with." What are you talking about? Not feel guilty for your sins. You are God's righteousness. That's what we just read in the Bible. You and I are God's righteousness. You are not guilty. I am not guilty. You cannot be guilty even if you tried. You can't. Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice. But what we do as Christians, when we sin, and we will sin, and we do sin, we think, "Oh, forgive me, God, forgive me. Oh, I can't believe that I did that." We don't have to put him back on the cross. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross once for all. The sins are wiped away as far as away as the east is from the west, is what the Bible tells us. It's done. Do you understand that, Christian? That should change the way we live. There's such freedom in that. If you go around feeling guilty all the time, it's basically pride. Because it's paid for on the cross. That's complete forgiveness. Jesus Christ offers that up to everyone. If you're a Christian, you've accepted that. You've received that forgiveness. You're good. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to work and do this and do this and do that and make a really cool building. I feel like I've been working a little bit lately. We don't have to. Christ did it on the cross. Our sins are canceled. If you're a believer and you've truly asked Jesus Christ into your life, you've asked Him into your life and you're a believer, there's such freedom in that. Okay, we do sin, but at that point, we need to repent and just turn from it. That's what we need to learn to do. We need to be good at that. I can't believe I did that. I shouldn't. And move on. Repent. Oh, yeah. Jesus died for those sins. And as He transforms us, if you're a believer, He's living inside you, promised to transform you to be more like Him. And as you become more like Him, you don't sin as much. Because He is sinless. And the more we become like Christ, the less we even want to sin. I used to swear like a longshoreman. And now I can't even, I don't have to swear. God is transforming me. And you. There's a work going on there. So that takes us to others. Must I forgive others? So what do you do with this? We have the freedom that if we sin, if we make mistakes, we can just say, oh God, I repent from that. I will not do that anymore. And move on. What happens with others? Well, you don't understand what this person's done to me. I can't forgive them. I can never forget that. It was a horrible, terrible thing. And I understand to some of you there's things that have happened in your life that I'm sorry they have. I'm sorry. But we must learn to forgive others. We must learn to. We're called to. For this verse in Ephesians, be kind. The Apostle Paul writes, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. It's so, so simple. Why do we make it so complicated? I need to know more. I need to learn more. I need to go this way. I need to do that. I need to work at this. Forgive others as Christ forgave you. I understand there's some serious traffic coming down here tonight. I hope you forgave all those people that you gave sneers to. Yes, Bill, I'm talking to you. So. It needs to be quick. It needs to be quick in any relationship with your friends, with your parents, with your spouse if you're married, with just the people you hang with, anyone. That forgiveness is just at the core of every relationship available for you to do it, to take action, to forgive. My wife and I were on a prayer walk the other day, and we got into an argument. Can you believe that? On a prayer walk. That is spiritual warfare. I knew there was some warfare going on in the heavenlies there. We're on a prayer walk, and pretty soon she's giving me the look. And I quickly tried to usher through it and say, would you please forgive me? I shouldn't have said that. But she had that look on her face where I knew it was going to take a little while. You guys, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you got to get past that and you just got to go, okay, let's walk a little further. I won't say anything. But finally, you know, there was a time when it would have taken us months to work through that. Honestly, God has been so kind to us to help teach us the simple act of forgiveness. Please forgive me, Jeannie, for saying that boneheaded thing. Please forgive me. And hopefully she'd ask me for forgiveness too. But no, that's not how it works. No. I need to forgive whether she's going to or not. Or whether your friends... You know, and we go around blaming our bosses for our lives being so miserable and everything else. Or all the things that happen to us, my broken car. Or that's, if my neighbor would get rid of that barking dog, I could sleep at night and I wouldn't be so angry all the time. It's always something. You forgive. Or sometimes I can be really short on patience. It seems like the last month that it's been that way. So I'm in Home Depot for the 5,000th time. And sometimes, I don't know if maybe I was just in a hurry or what, but sometimes it just takes so long. Just scan it. You know, just, right? Run it over the machine, and we'll be out of here. I've got, you don't know what's going on here. I got to go back. But in my heart, my heart can get so hard, and all of us can, no matter what we're doing. There'll be an opportunity tonight, before we go to bed, to exercise forgiveness like Christ, just simple forgiveness. You know what? You really offended me, but I forgive you. We have to get good at it, to work at it. It doesn't just come natural for us to forgive. And it's the blame game all the time. And what blame, well, I like to say, blame stands for be lame. And we all have friends like this. You start talking to them for a little while, and they say, you know, this guy did that, and this did that. My sister did this, and you can't believe about that. And you're not. It's like, get over the blame game. Your life would be so much less complicated if you just quit blaming everybody else. Just live your own life, forgive everybody, and just move on. And I'm just as convicted by that when I was looking at this. Because I can blame, you know, if it hadn't been for that checker at Home Depot, the lights would work a little bit. And it's always something, you know. If this or that wouldn't have happened just right. If that landlord hadn't, or this or that. Or if my Uncle Joe would have given me that money back. It's blame, 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 blame. You know, and we need to get over that. Must I forgive others? Yes. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. There it is again. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. It seems so simple. I don't know why we can't get it. It's right there before us. I like this verse in Romans. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. If you're a believer, that's you tonight. Your sin will never be counted against you. Never. Never, ever, ever. Sometimes I just can't quite comprehend that. How could it be canceled so completely? Why me? Because of my God. Because my God is so amazing that he sent his son Jesus Christ for that very purpose. To die on a cross for you and for me. Jesus is our example. I like this in Luke when Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Let's just set the scene here. Where was he? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And he divided up his clothes. He was hanging on the cross. He was dying on a cross. The king of the universe, the creator of the world, was hanging on a cross, dying. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh my goodness. And most all of us know the Lord's Prayer. Jesus was asked, how should we pray? How should we pray? And the Lord's Prayer is Jesus' response. It's his response, the Lord's Prayer. He said, well, I'll tell you how to pray. This is Jesus teaching us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us. This is Jesus speaking, and he's teaching us how to pray. This is Jesus speaking, and forgive us our trespasses. Jesus was sinless. He was teaching us how to ask for salvation. He was teaching everyone, whoever hears the Lord's Prayer. I loved it when Steele and the band played it over here at the Tabernacle at the Freedom Festival. Everybody was singing along. What were they singing? Forgive us our sins. Save us. That's what that prayer is saying. Forgive us. Forgive us. And Jesus has instructed us to ask for that. Forgive us our sins. Even if you don't know the Lord and you've said that prayer, you've asked God to forgive you. And then everything changes. As we understand, as we become a Christian, as we step into that, forgive us our sins. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You ask Christ into your life, and you receive that free forgiveness that he offers up to you. Then everything changes as we forgive those who trespass against us, those who sin against us, those who cut us off in traffic. As we forgive those who sin against us, it all changes. It starts at the cross. And then it changes. And once we ask that forgiveness and ask God to come into our life, he fulfills his promise by coming into your life and transforming you to be more like him. Oh my goodness, that is good news today and every day. That's the forgiveness, the complete forgiveness that changes everything. And once you understand that, that it's in every day, everything, everything. His forgiveness is every day, everything we do. That's right at the core of it, that the cross, that forgiveness is there. And it changes the way you and I walk through this planet. It should change us. If we really understand that, if we really live it, if it's really something that you believe, and you're running towards Christ, by his grace, by his mercy, he changes us. He does it. He did the work on the cross. He does it. He does everything. It's by grace you have been saved, not by works. It's by grace you have been saved. You've been forgiven. I have been forgiven. All the rape, all the incest, all the sins done by pedophiles, all the murder, all the lies, all the blasphemes, all the covetousness. It's hard for me to say that word. All the idolatry. Every single sin ever was or ever will be. Jesus became that sin on the cross. Everything. All the yuck. Everything. Jesus became it. On the cross, he took it upon himself, the Savior of the world. He had to. He's the only perfect sacrifice. The only way he could rescue us was to die on the cross. So he did that willingly for you and for me. And that sin was taken on upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one of them is gone. It's gone. I don't know if you've ever seen the magic flash paper, but you put it in something, light it, and just go, poof, it's gone. We've done it in youth group before. You just write your sins on there, and you put it in a bucket, and you light it, and it's just gone. And that's what's happened to our sins. It's gone. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are gone. They have been canceled by the blood of Christ. You need to understand that and live that today. Verse in Matthew 18:21-22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And he wasn't saying 77, he was just saying keep doing it. Keep forgiving. Keep forgiving. But you don't know what, you don't know how much they've sinned against. No. Forgive them. Get past it. Forgive them. Move on. From true forgiveness means it's gone. You might say, well, I forgive my wife or I forget my husband. True forgiveness is it doesn't come back up in another argument. That happened with my son and I the other day. He did something and I disciplined him and I told him, you know what? That's done. I forgive you of that. It's over. I disciplined him, took away his phone, which just about was like taking his heart out, the poor guy. I love him so much. But I brought it back up. I brought it back up to my son. And I had to ask for his forgiveness again. True forgiveness. It's gone. We need to be quick to forgive, and we need to be sincere in our forgiveness. Truly forgive and let that go and forget. We're going to watch a video now, which is pretty graphic. It's passion. We're just going to watch a part where you see true forgiveness. See where sin is paid for, where sin goes to.
The letter you dream anymore. The other pain.
Shema. It's lay like of a lack.
הוא הפק על משפט אין תשפוט אני אין צדיק ושאל על תזכו לי אדוני בזמנתי בית על שכבה לך not give me anything back.
Sister. No. Oh, Parky. Johanan. Par.
Pretty sobering video. Jesus said, it is accomplished. It is finished. All the sin, past, present, future, was atoned for on the cross. Why else did Jesus have to die? He died on the cross for you and for me. And that forgiveness is available for you and for me. That forgiveness is available. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, you never asked for that forgiveness, it's available. Simply ask for it. And if you have, and you are a Christian, you are a believer, believe you're forgiven and live a life that reflects that. The beautiful thing is that Christ rose from the dead. That sin went away in death. That death was the sin going away. And Jesus rose from the dead, and that's our hope. Jesus conquered death. It's victory over death, and so do you and I when we accept and receive that forgiveness into our lives. Let's say a prayer together and just ask for that. God, just thank you that you did die for our sins, and that forgiveness is real, and that you do forgive us. I just praise you and thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you that you are faithful. And you went to the cross. You didn't have to. You're the perfect sacrifice for us. Thank you that you did that for everyone here, for everyone who ever listens to this message. God, you did that. You died for us. And that sin is gone. And you offer that up to us. Thank you, Father God, that at one point in my life, I asked for that forgiveness. And you gave it to me willingly. Thank you. Mercy and your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. Help us to live out our lives. Forgiving others. Help us to become more like you. Father God, I pray for everyone in here, if they don't know you, Father God, I'd be amiss not to mention that. Father God, I just pray for them right now. I lift them up to you. Anyone who maybe has never asked for that forgiveness, has never really understood that your promise of eternal life is real and it's true and it's offered to them. Father God, make them aware of that tonight. I pray you would nudge them to speak to one of us, to talk to us about that. I pray those of us that know you would be have full attention, looking for people that don't know you, willing to lend a ear and help lead them to you. We just pray that in your precious name. Amen. Now next week, we'll continue this series. So you'd be welcome to come back. Really, thank you for coming tonight to the Rock Provo. Next week, we'll be talking, the topic will be religion. Is it good or bad? You may have noticed our sign out there that interest in God but not religion. Let's talk about that. And that's what we're going to do next Friday. Thank you for coming. Have a good night.
All right, let's stand up.